Perek Aleph, Pasuk Aleph. Vayi Dvar Hashem, and it was the word of Hashem, or Yonah ben Amittai, Lema to Yonah ben Amittai, saying, so we explained why his name was Yonah ben Amittai. All the prophecies came true. He had a track record. Klal Yisrael, he had a chazaka by Klal Yisrael. It was established by Klal Yisrael that if Yonah said something, it's going to come true. And that established a motive for him not to go to Nineveh, because he was sure that the Ninvenians with the tshuva, and his nevuah would turn out to be a false prophecy. He'd be accused of being a false prophet, which would result in a chilul Hashem. On this pasuk, the mefarshim, they ask two questions. One question is, Nevi'im are sent, the chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, their vehicle of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to communicate with his people, with Klal Yisrael. And almost without exception, I say almost without exception, Nevi'im were sent to the Bnei Yisrael. Hashem does not send Nevi'im to Goyim. The Goyim, Hashem gave them their own Navi. Bilam was their Navi. Chazal say Hashem gave them Bilam to counter the taina, the complaint that, you know, Klal Yisrael had Nevi'im. Nevi'im gave them Musar, they rebuked them, so Klal Yisrael turned out all right. We didn't have Nevi'im. What do you expect from us? So Hashem gave them a Navi, and we see what that Navi did. Not only did he not rebuke them, but he brought them down. He brought them down, and they no longer have that taina. But to send a Jewish Navi to non-Jews is very rare. It's almost unheard of, and there has to be a special reason for it. So that's one of the issues that we deal with here, is why was Yonah sent on a mission to a city of Nineveh populated by Gentiles, non-Jews? And another issue which they deal with is, even if there was some reason, some purpose to send a Navi to the Goyim, there's some reason why Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted the Goyim to hear this message, maybe some scripts that they had. But why do we have to know about it? I mean, this is something which is, this is something which we might as well know right away, that Nevuah, Sifrei Nach, are not history books. I mean, there's a lot of history which emerges from them, but they weren't written to be a chronicle of our nation. They don't go in chronological order. They're not based on the exploits of the kings and the nations, as the Geisha history books are. Divin Nevuah, Nevuah, the Dvar Hashem. I mean, they're the opposite of history books, because the Nevuah preceded the events. History books are chronicles that are recorded post-event, following the events. Nevuah was written before. They're written before the events, and then the event happens, and then they became a sort of history book, because since they foretold the events, and then the event happens, so now they're a history book. But they're not history books. They're the word of God. They're God speaking to this people. And they have a status of Torah. They have a din. It's called Torah. And Torah is to be learned. And Torah is to be expounded upon. The Gemara says that the Nevuah that was written down was the Nevuah that has value for eternity, for all generations. Any Nevuah that was just a Nevuah for that particular time was not written down. It's not the Torah Kisrei HaKadosh. The 24 Sfarim were the Nevuahs, were the prophecies that are necessary for eternity. So the Kadosh Baruch Hu might have had some purpose, some reason why Yonah was sent to the Goyim. That's a separate issue. But why is this part of our Torah? This is, something which is dealt with at length. Why is it part of our Torah? What does it have to do with us? Yonah went to them. What does it have to do with us? They were doing Averis. They were going to get destroyed. Kadosh Baruch Hu was saving them by sending Yonah to them. What does it have to do with us? This is a Sefer which is part of our Torah. We learn it. We're learning Torah Hashem. Now these two questions, they have common ground, you understand? Alright. So let's start with the Radak. The Radak is a medieval commentator. His full name is Rabbi David Kimchi. And he asks this question. He gives three answers why it's part of our Torah. It's part of our Torah. The first answer is Pashit. It's part of our Torah because we have what to learn from a nation that their acts led them to be threatened with extinction. And they did tshuva, and they saved themselves. He said, it's Musar. Sefer Yain is a Sefer Musar. It's called projection. You know, you're supposed to project ourselves into the place of the Nivenians. That this could happen to us, and we're not so perfect, and we're Chas v'Shalom. Who knows what a Kadosh Baruch Hu has in store for us, and we should also do tshuva. And this is a lesson for all ages. And that is the very reason why we read Sefer Yain and Yom Kippur. That's the appropriate time. Because Yom Kippur is a time for us to evaluate ourselves and introspection. It's a Sefer Musar. So it's Torah. Even though it happened to them, to the Goyim, but it's Torah for us. As a, like a sub reason, another reason he gives, which is connected, it's related to the first reason. One of the things, one of the major causes that prevents a person from doing tshuva is he has a very low self-image. He feels that he is what he is. He's sullied. He's low. He's not on a high level. And you can't, you know, there's no turning back. And we find this by the famous Tana, Elisha ben Avuya. Elisha ben Avuya was the Rebbe of Rav Meir. Rav Meir clung to him even after he became a Rasha. And the wicked things he did included Chilul Shabbos and murder. Among other things, Znus, all the Averis. Gerayis, Chilul Shabbos, Shrikat Damim, and the Gemara says he was Kaitis ben Itzias, which is it's a form of Avodah Zarah. So he did all of them, and Rav Meir still clung to him, and he learned Torah from him. He was riding on a horse, I think it was a horse, maybe it was a donkey, I don't recall. It was Shabbos, so that's an Issa d'Rabbanan. But then he was, and Rav Meir was following him, and he's teaching Rav Meir Torah. Rav Meir is learning Torah from Elisha ben Avuya when he's riding on an animal. It's called a beast of burden. On Shabbos, and he leaves the city, follows him, 2,000 amos outside of the city. The halacha is that one is not permitted to travel 2,000 amos outside of the city. Pashas is the Raisa. The mayor tells Elisha ben Avuya, he said, I can't follow you any longer. I have to stop, and he said, you also have to stop. Elisha ben Avuya says, those things, they don't stop me anymore. The mayor says, Chazor bach, do tshuva. Come back. Stop. Do tshuva, come back. He appealed to his Rebbe. His Rebbe said no. Because he heard a basko. A basko was a heavenly voice. Came out from Shemayim. And Elisha ben Avuya heard it. And the basko quoted a pasuk, Shuvu banim shevavim. Return, O iniquitous sons. Because Baruch calls out to people. He said, you're Russia, you're Shavav, you're Russia. Hashem says, I want you to come back, come back. He's calling us back. He doesn't even make us take the first step. And then he hears the Baskel saying, Chutz me acher, except for Elisha ben Avuya. There's one exception. Everybody went, ooh, we're showing him to come back. Come back to tshuva, I'm going to open. HaKadosh Baruch was standing there with his arms outstretched to embrace them, except for you. So he didn't do tshuva. Kibalim Rabbeinu, that was Acher's Nisayon. He should have done tshuva anyway. It was a very big Nisayon. He heard a heavenly voice.
Huge
Nisayon. He should have done tshuva anyway. That's the biggest Nisayon. It's a very big Nisayon. A person does not vary. He thinks, okay, this is the way I am. That's me. Do tshuva, I can't do tshuva anyway. So say for Yaina, even though it happened to Goyim, Dafka, you see, even Goyim could do tshuva. If a guy could do tshuva, and a Kaddish Baruch Hu, not only he sends a Navi to Goyim to do tshuva, so I could also do tshuva. But that's related to the first reason. The first reason is, you see where sin ends, you know, a sinner ends up. And the second reason is, you see a sinner could come back. Those are both very valuable lessons in their Torah. And the third reason is Kiddush Shem Shamayim. It's unrelated to the first two reasons. It's Kiddush Shem Shamayim because there's Nisim in Sefer Yoni. Sefer Yoni, you have somebody that he survives in the subterranean depths. I mean, that whole Maisa. When we get on the Maisa, you're going to learn all the Nisim and Inflois, Lamala Midrash HaTeva, and the whole Maisa, the storm and the boat. There's a lot of details that the Midrashim bring down. But Yaina survived in the belly of a sea animal for 3 days and three nights. That's physically impossible. Kadosh Baruch Hu could keep a person alive, and Yaina's Jewish. The Radak says the reason why it's part of Kisrei HaKodesh is part of Torah, is because it contains within it the Nisim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did to the Yidden, what he did to Yaina. The main theme of Yaina is sending Yaina to a non-Jewish city. But a very important part of it is Nisim that happened to Yaina. So, you know, the third reason doesn't just answer the question, but it eliminates the question. The question is, why do you have a sefer that's part of the Torah when it talks about what's going on with the Goyim? The question is premised on that hanukkah, that assumption. So Radak says it's also based on what, you know, it also includes what happens to the Yidden, because Baruch made a nes for a Navi of the Yidden. And that's a Kiddush Shem Shamayim. That's something which we have to know, that there's nothing that a Kaddish Baruch can't do. And if a Kaddish Baruch wants someone to live, he could live even in conditions where one can't live. Nisim v'niflois. The fish spit him out, and he flew through the air. I mean, as I say, it's Lebedik. It's Lebedik. He flew through the air thousands of miles and landed safely. That's, you know, that's Kiddush Shem Shamayim. That's a nice. That's Torah. Part of Torah. Or Torah itself. Torah itself is to reveal the greatness of God. So, you know, the fact that Yen was sent to Gaisha City doesn't stop from being part of Kisra Kaish. That's Radak. That's Radak. Three reasons. The Abav now argues on the Radak. And the first reason of the Radak. The Radak says that Sefer Yain is a Musa Sefer. They did Averis, they were threatened with destruction. They did Tshuva, we should do Tshuva. A Musa Sefer. The Radak says, the Abav now says, he doesn't see any advantage from learning Musa from the fact that a city repented and was saved than from the terror which we already have. He said, we have examples. We have examples of this throughout Torah. In Torah you have Stein Vamira, you have Mitzrayim, you've got the rebuke of the Nevi'im throughout the ages. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, you do tshuva, be fine, everything's going to be great. You have the Teichecha, and B'chukaisai. You have another Teichecha, and Kisavai. You have Parshas, Re'ein Asatel Lefneicha Mesabracha V'saklala, I'm placing in front of you blessing and curse. Mesabracha, Shetishmu. He said, Torah is replete with this. It's hard to find a place in Torah that doesn't have this theme. So you have an incident, an isolated incident where Gaish the city, they were wicked, and Kadosh Baruch Hu sends a messenger to them, do tshuva and I'm going to save you. You won't be destroyed. So you have to make that part of our Torah to be an example. We don't have enough, He said that reason is not it's not so. He doesn't see it as a strong reason. And he said it's a reason. It's just he doesn't see it as a strong reason. The Abarbanel also points out. That the Sam Rishayim, they learned that the people in Nineveh, they did external tshuva. There was many averus they did not do tshuva for. The pasuk says that they returned the stolen objects. They did tshuva from Gezel, which is important. I mean, we're in Parshas Noach now, and the sealing of the gzera on the world, what brought about the flood, the final. Straw that broke the camel's back was Gezel. So the city was, you know, was rampant with Gezel. So they returned lost objects, but there were a lot of other various they were doing, and they didn't do tshuva on that, and they got saved. So the Barbanel says that's not a very good example. It's not a very good example. If you're trying to convey a message of Musar, so it's not the best example to provide Nineveh. Nineveh should stand as that example. The people that the Rishayim, and they remained Rishayim. Even after the Tshuva, they remained Rishayim, and Hashem didn't destroy them. So what lesson are we going to learn from there? You learn a lesson that you could do Tshuva and still be a Rasha. So it's not like the best example. So Abarbanel says his own reason why it's part of Torah. And again, it resembles the third reason of the Radak. That it's part of Torah because of what happened to Yair. There's two things. Number one is it wants to show the chassidus of Yair. I mean, Yair in the beginning seems to try and hide from the Ratzon Hashem, to run away from the Ratzon Hashem, which was wrong. But even that, as we're going to learn the reasons why he did it, you see that he's willing to give up his life in this world, give up his life in the next world, in order to save Klal Yisrael. It's the ultimate Mesiras Nefesh. He knew that he could die for it. He's willing to die. He wants to die. We're going to see he wants to die. If he dies, then he can't give over the message, because dead people don't give over messages.
Well, it can always be brought back to life.
I know, and that's exactly what happened. And that's the second thing that the Barbanel says. Do you see the chassidus of Yaina? And the second thing he says is, do you see when Hashem wants something, then it endures forever? Human beings do not possess the capability of frustrating the designs and plans of a Kaddish Baruch Hu. Like, you think that a Kaddish Baruch Hu wants Yaina to do something, so he'll kill himself, and Hashem won't make him do it, so he could frustrate Chas V'Shalom. You can't even say this, but that was his plan. Because Baruch wants something, and he's going to avoid it.
Or not.
If Yehuda would jump off the Empire State Building, Hashem would make a gust of wind to blow him back in the window. There's no. The Dvar of Hashem is eternal. There's no way to counter it. Kadosh Baruch Hu, in the end, is rotten, is mekuyim, is fulfilled. And that's true of everything. Kadosh Baruch Hu wants this world to make it. He wants people in this world to be tzaddikim. And Hashem will do anything to make that happen, including some very catastrophic things. Now, in reference to the second question, why was Nineveh Zeicher to have a messenger sent to them? Hashem does not usually send Nevi'im to the Einim Yehudim, to the Gentiles. The Psukim, you know, there's a number of Psukim in Parshas Hazina, which we read not long ago. Abarbanel brings these Psukim as, you know, to bolster the question, to support the question. The pasuk says, Hashem badad yanchenu. Hashem alone leads Klal Yisrael. That means when his leadership of Klal Yisrael, his dominion over Klal Yisrael, is done in a direct manner. He speaks to them directly, through a Navi. Because Nevuah is the process where HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks with us directly. HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveals himself within a Ben Yisrael. Hashem reveals himself within a Jew. God's word is present in a Jewish soul. Ki chelek Hashem amo. The pasuk says God is like a port, you know, God is a part and parcel with his people. Again, that's the same concept. What does it mean God is part and parcel with his people? We know that you can't divide God into parts. There's no parts. So that means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveals himself directly from within a person. He doesn't speak to us from a rock. He speaks to us from within a person. Even with the burning bush, HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed himself to Moshe from an inanimate object. But the burning bush represented Klal Yisrael. It has thorns. It was a thorn bush. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was showing Moshe Rabbeinu, Klal Yisrael is in Mitzrayim. They're among thorns. I'm also with them. I'm with them among thorns. So even when Hashem revealed himself to Moshe from an inanimate object, that inanimate object represented Klal Yisrael. Right, you know, Hashem reveals himself from within Klal Yisrael. In Begayim, it's not like that. And the Pasuk says, we say this is in Tillim. We say this every day. Hashem does not do this for Goyim. Umishpatim ba'yada'um, halaluka. Hashem doesn't do this for Goyim. Kadosh Baruch Hu has malachim, or sarim, they're called officers on high, and Hashem invests them with the power to take care of whatever the Goyim need. Hashem doesn't want a relationship with them. Sarim, the Sarim Island, is the Sar of Mitzrayim, and the Sar of Romi, and the Sarim. The Sarim, Rashi brings down many, you know, that the Bnei Yisrael saw Mitzrayim right from Achareim, they saw Mitzrayim running after them. So Rashi has a question, Mitzrayim is singular, it should say Mitzrayim, which is plural. The Bnei Yisrael saw Mitzrayim running after them? And you can't answer that the Mitzrayim, you know, there was like mamish achdus, because Mitzrayim don't have achdus. And you can't, you know, pull that one out. So Rashi says that it was referring to the Sar. Mm-hmm. The Sar, and that's one, that's singular. They saw Mitzrayim, they saw the Sar, and that's what scared the wits out of them. The flesh and blood Mitzrayim did not bring them to that level of fear. When they saw a Sar of Mitzrayim, they were scared. They have a Sar! But what did Moshe Rabbeinu say to Bnei Yisrael? Hashem yilochem lochem. Don't worry. Hashem's going to fight for you. So Mitzrayim, they have a Sar. You have God. No problem. You know? Mm-hmm. They have a Sar. So Nevuah is only to Klal Yisrael. Nevuah is not to the Goyim. The Babna also asks that Hashem destroyed other nations. Hashem destroyed Babel. Babel? There's any Babylonians around nowadays? Did Hashem send a message to the Babylonia that he's going to destroy them and to see if they have 40 days to do tshuva? He didn't give them a chance. He didn't give them a chance. I mean, there was the famous writing on the wall in the days of Belshazzar. But that was a done deal. That was not. It was writing on the wall that foretold the downfall of his kingdom, and then it just happened.
That was also an inanimate object.
That was an inanimate object. Very good, you saw Dave. Very good. One answer. Kadosh Baruch Hu has his tools. Hashem has his rods that he beats Bnei Yisrael with. We need to be beaten sometimes if we don't get the message. Ashur, Assyria, that nation is called the rod of God, the whipping stick of God. The Shevet Barzel. The iron bar that the Kodesh Baruch Hu uses when he needs to whip us into shape. Nineveh was the capital of Asher. If the sins of Nineveh, the capital, this is where the kingdom is, if the sins of Nineveh bring down upon it destruction, so then the Kodesh Baruch Hu won't have this tool available. And this tool ultimately is the salvation of the Bnei Yisrael. When the Bnei Yisrael get comfortable and complacent, we're supposed to say, oh, I'm rich, I have all my needs attend to, I'm going to go to the Beis Medrash. But we don't always do that.
Who said this?
This is Abar Benel. Don Isaac, Abar Benel.
So this is at Ashur?
Lived in the late 1400s. What? This is Ashur. Nineveh was the capital city of Ashur. So Hashem sent a Navi to the Goyim, not because of his concern for the Goyim. He sent a Navi to the Goyim because he needs them around. They have to be available. It's not a very joyous reason. So the Goyim really don't deserve it. But Hashem needs, he needs them. He needs them to punish us. The Radak, he addresses this question in his own way. He has his own answer. There are certain averus that are contained averus. They affect only the people of that region. They're not contagious. There are certain averus that they don't affect the social order as much. Someone worships Avodah Zarah. You could still have a society. Society was still, you know, there won't be a breakdown in society. They have an Avodah Zarah, the Rishayim, it's terrible. It's terrible. Tumah. Chil Hashem, it's kefela. But they still have a society. In fact, they could build a society around the Avodah Zarah. Makazal tell us that the Dor HaMabul was wiped out. They died. The people that built the Tower of Babel, they, you know, not all of them died. Not all of them died. I mean, the Pasuk says they were spread out. They were survivors. The Medrash asks, you know, why were the survivors on the Tower of Babel and from the flood they were obliterated? And the Medrash answers, because the ones of the flood were guilty of thievery, chamas. They practiced theft. They stole from one another. They didn't have actors. The ones that built the tower, they really are on the cause of Avodah Zarah. It was Avodah Zarah. They were going to build an Avodah Zarah at the top of the tower. That was their plan. So they had a social order. They worked in tandem with one another. There was harmony. So that's a Schus HaKiyum. Even when the harmony, the Achdus is for the most evil purpose. If the Ben Adam L'Chavera is proper, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu lets the person live for a while. If they don't do tshuva by the end of their lives, they're going to get it. Let's not fool ourselves. They're going to get it. Because Baruch doesn't forgive them and say, oh, you get along, so you're going to go to Gan Eden. But in this world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives them time. They have good midas, they have their carrots, they get along, they're achdus. He'll give them time. But a society that's built on Geneva, immediate retribution. They died out. So the Radak says that Nineveh, they were guilty of Geneva, Gzela, Hamas. That destroys the world order. That's a threat to the entire world. That the entire world could be destroyed because of it. And it seems that they reached the pinnacle. They reached the ultimate in this. It wasn't just average Geneva. It was something they specialized in. It. They were unique in this aspect. They had like a shlemus and a tmimus like in Geneva. That Hashem had to send the Navi to Nineveh, even though he normally doesn't send it to Goyim, because it's a threat to the entire world. And when Goyim are a threat to the entire world, Hashem sends a Navi to them. So the Radak says it was an exception to the rule. And there's a third, but let me know when you're ready for the third reason.
Who says the third reason?
Devin Ezra. I'm going to tell it to you twice. I'm going to tell it to you now, and then I'm going to tell it to you in the next pasuk. We'll do Chazara. The Ibn Ezra says that Nineveh was a special city. He said Nineveh was one of the only cities that didn't practice Avodah Zarah. It's Machlaikis. There's a Machlaikis Vishayim. Whether the citizens of Nineveh were Avodah Zarah. The Ibn Ezra says they weren't. We'll get into it more in length in the next pasuk. He says they weren't Avodah Zarah. To be a capital city, to be a Goyish city, and not worship Avodah Zarah, so then they're worthy of the unusual. To have a Navi, a Jewish Navi, sent to them to give them a chance. Because people that refrain from Avodah Zarah deserve a chance. So the Ibn Ezra learns that they were special people. It's a very unique pshat among the Rishonim. Nineveh was special. It's the opposite of what, you know, all the other Rishonim say. They were clean. They were special. They had a virus. But they deserved a chance because of a desire that they believed in God and they worshipped God and they didn't worship other idols. They were monotheistic. I don't know if we appreciate this enough. We can't appreciate it. But that was in the time when there was a taiva for Avodah Zarah. People had a taiva to worship Avodah Zarah like we have a taiva for Gilui Arayos. So could you imagine a non-Jewish country that the people in the country do not have an issue with Gilui Arayos? They're saints. They're saints. They have a tremendous overpowering taiva for Gilui Arayos, and you know, the entire country, the entire city is clean. So that's what they did for Avodah Zarah. Let's go on to the next pasuk. Pasuk Beis. Kadosh Baruch Hu tells Yair, "Kum lecha Nineveh." Go to Nineveh. Ha'ir Adila, the big city. Nineveh is the big city. Ukral el, and call out to it. And Allah doesn't literally mean to it, but loosely translated, call out upon it. Call out on it. Call out to it. Ki also ra'asam lefanai, their evil arose in front of me. Just a little historical background. The Ibn Ezra says that Nineveh housed the monarchy of Assyria. That was the palace city. You know, the king's palace was there. The government was there. And there's some Torah scholars, I guess it's in the time of the Ibn Ezra. I mean, you're talking about the time of the Rishonim. There's some Chachamim who live in Greek. Talmid Chachamim who live in the country of Greece. And Ibn Ezra has a Kabbalah from them, he has a Messiah from them, that Nineveh is the city of Ortia. Aleph Vav Resh Tes Yud Hei, which the Ibn Ezra knew where that was. It's a city called Ortia. And the time the Ibn Ezra was already destroyed, it was in ruins. So I don't know if we know where that is. But in the time of Ibn Ezra, there was a city called Ortia, and the Chachmei Yisrael in Greece said that that's Nineveh, and it's in ruins.
How do you spell it?
Aleph Vav Resh Tes Yod Hei. Ortia. Resh Tes Yod Hei. Ha'ir Agdala, it's a big city. Why is it called the big city?
It's very big.
What relevance is there? What relevance is there to calling it a big city? The Ibn Ezra says big. When the Torah says big, it doesn't refer to the physical characteristics of the city. There's no relevance. We don't need to know that. There's no point. Big means great. The great city. And why was Nineveh a great city? So the Ibn Ezra goes to Shitasai because they had Yerushalayim. He said they had a background. They had a history of having Yerushalayim. Way back to the days of Yor. It's a great city. this week's Parsha. They built the Tower of Babel. They're trying to get everybody involved. Chazal say it was Nimrod. He was the head honcho. And they wanted everyone. Because this is the era of Achdus. They wanted to do it together. They knew that they have a chance at success if they do it together, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows people, or he's not pleased with everything that a Rabban does, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives power to people that act together in tandem, in concert with everyone else, even if they're doing the wrong thing. Achdus is a strong kaya in the creation. Even if a person could use it or abuse it. So they wanted everyone. The Pasuk said, Mina Oretz Ahi Yatza Ashur. That from that region, Ashur, a man named Ashur, left. So Rashi brings down Chazal that he saw that his children were getting involved. He saw that they were, they were getting schlepped in, they're getting sucked into this. And he didn't want it. So he left. And he built a city. And the city that he built was called Nineveh. He built a number of cities. But one of the cities he built was Nineveh. Nineveh was built by someone that left. He left because the idea of gathering together to build a tower that would stand for merida, for rebellion against the Kadosh Baruch Hu, was anti-ethical. He didn't want his children involved in that. That's against what he stood for. This city, it was built with this. That was the credo that they lived by. That was their value system. And it continued throughout the ages, for thousands of years, until the time of Yenoch. They did not worship Avodah Zarah. So now the Eben Ezra, we're let in on the secret. I mean, the Eben Ezra doesn't actually say this, that it's connected with what Asher did, but it's really obvious. I'm saying, it's really obvious that the ability of the city of Nineveh to resist the tendency, the wave, the movement of its neighbors, that were totally Avodah Zarah, completely and totally, without exception, was because the very fiber, the fabric of its founding fathers, they founded it on those principles. That Avodah Zarah is to be repelled. They were repulsed by Avodah Zarah. It's fascinating. So he calls it Ir HaGdolah because it was a great city.
I guess that's why they were also Zocha to be like God's whipping stick, whatever, for the Jews, because
that's not a schus. Because then they get punished for it afterwards.
No?
I don't know. That's not a schus.
Where is the tower built?
It's in Babel. It's called the Migdal Babel. Babylonia. So he went to Assyria. And later on in the Navi, at the end of Yaina, it's called the Ir HaGdolah again. And the Pasuk adds two words, Ha'ir HaGdolah Lefneho Lakim, the big city in front of God. So Eben Ezra says that complements our Pasuk. Here it just calls it the Ir HaGdolah, there it calls it the Ir HaGdolah Lefnei Elokim. Because it's the great city. Why is it the great city? Because it's in front of God. It's not in front of any other idols, it's in front of God. It is the big city in front of God. So that's later. It says the Ir HaGdolah twice in Sefer Yehiam. The Barbanel, and that argues on the Eben Ezra. And the Barbanel says they were Avodah Zarah. The source for the Barbanel is the Gemara Yevamos Samach Aleph Amud Aleph. The Gemara there says they were Avodah Zarah. You'll find that when you learn Nach, the Mefarshim and Nach, they don't always explain the Pasuk according to the Gemara. There's different levels of understanding Torah. The Gemara is one of them. And the Rishonim, they understand it. Of course, they understand it on the level of the Gemara. That's the Shaila. But they have other understandings called Apimikra, Pshuto Shamikra. And they don't always stick to the Gemara. they have other pshatim on different levels. But Chas Sham, he's not arguing on the Gemara, he's saying that Ibn Ezra is saying a pshat on a different level. But the Gemara says they were able to have a desire.
Where's the Gemara?
Yivamis Samachala from an Aleph. Now it's interesting because the Abarbanel and the Ibn Ezra bring proofs to their respective opinions from the exact same pasuk. The pasuk says later on in Sefer Yena that the people of Nineveh, upon hearing the message of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they did tshuva on the Aver of Gezel. So the Abarbanel says, you see that they only did tshuva on Gezel, so he makes a diuk. But on Gezel they did tshuva, but on other Averis they didn't.
What other?
Avay Dezara. So he says that they're mamish no goodniks. Because not only did they did Avay Dezara and Gezel, and even when it came time to do tshuva, they couldn't part from the Avay Dezara. So they're worse than regular Avay Dezara. Because they're Avay Dezara and they won't even give it up when they're threatened with decimation. So they were so attached, they were so, you know, Avay Dezara was so much a part of them that they couldn't even give it up upon pain of death. But they gave up the Gezel, so then they bought time with it. They had a Swiss. The Ibn Ezra takes the same pasuk and says, you see that they did tshuva on Gezel. That means that they didn't do anything else wrong. That's the only thing that they did. Because if they would have done other things, the pasuk would have said they did tshuva on that. They're mamish. Their rayas are from this, you know, they have opposite, contrary rayas from the same pasuk. Next point of the pasuk, Kadosh Baruch Hu tells Yena Ukraila, call to it. Now this is a very interesting expression. Call to it. And here also you have a machlokes. Yena didn't go. The Gemara says that Yena was guilty of being kavish nevuasa. That means refusing to deliver nevuah, which is chayiv misa. It's one of the things that an obvious chayiv misa for.
What?
It's one of the things that a Navi is chayiv misa for. A Kadosh Baruch Hu gives a Navi a prophecy, commands him to deliver. If he holds on to the nevuah, if he refuses to give it over, so then he's chayiv misa. Misa b'day shemayim. Bezdin doesn't have a power to put him to death, but he's chayiv misa b'day shemayim. So the Gemara says that Yena was guilty of holding back a prophecy, and he's chayiv misa. And that means that he did it knowingly. He knew that he'd be chayiv misa, and he did it anyway. The Malbim explains it differently, not according to the Gemara. He has his own way of explaining it. The Malbim is consistent throughout the Sefer with this explanation. He said that Kadosh Baruch Hu sent Yena twice. The first time he sent him, Yena didn't go. The second time he sent him, Yena did go. The Malbim says that the terms, terminology, the words Hashem used when he sent him the first time are different than the second time. The first time Hashem says Ukraila, call out to her. The second time, when he actually went, compare Gimel, Pasuk Beis, he tells Yen, I want you to give over Asher Anoichi Dover Elecha, the words which I am speaking to you. The Malbim says, the words Asher Anoichi Dover Elecha, that's referring to prophecy. The words which I give over to you, Yaina, I want you to give over to them. That's prophecy. HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveals himself to a prophet. He reveals himself via specific words. And it's the duty of the prophet to give those words over to the recipient of the prophecy. He has to give over the exact words. So in Parak Gimel, Pasuk Beis, the Pasuk uses the words of prophecy. But over here in Parak Aleph, Pasuk Beis, it says, call out to Nineveh. And Hashem doesn't give him any words. He leaves it up to Yaina. He says, Yaina, I leave it up to you. Hashem didn't give him words. It's Meduyik in the Pasuk. So if Hashem didn't give Yaina words, so what does he expect Yaina to say? the mom says, he expects him to give them Musa. Give them Musa.
They shouldn't be arguing that because of that.
That's right. The usher was very good. When a Navi is commanded to give someone Musa and he doesn't, so he gets it, it's wrong. There's a punishment for it. It's wrong. It's an avera. Chas v'shalom, when any person does an avera, Hashem is telling him to do something and he doesn't do it. Mm-hmm. If a guy doesn't shake a lulav, Hashem told him to do it, he didn't do it. Is he chayav misa?
No.
No. So the mom says that when Hashem commands a navi to give musa, that's a mitzvah saseh. And he didn't do it. And he had his reasons for not doing it, and he was wrong. But he's not chayav misa. The second time, when Hashem told him to deliver a prophecy, he gave him words to give over, that time was a real nevuah, and that time he did it. The mom says the reason why Hashem didn't give him the prophecy now, you know, why didn't Hashem give him the prophecy now? Why did Hashem wait until Paragimel? And the mom says because it wasn't Ninveh's time to be destroyed. There's a certain amount of, a certain quota of avarice, a certain amount of beans that have to go into the jar until the jar breaks. And it wasn't time yet. Time had to pass. So Hashem told Yenner, go give them Musa. But by Paragimel, enough time had passed that they had done more avarus. So Hashem told Yenner, go tell them that the bean jar is full. Or jelly beans, whatever you want to put in your jar. And that's why here it's not prophecy and there is prophecy. Therefore, Yenner wasn't chayav misa. This is the Malbim's pshat, and it's only the Malbim's pshat. Because if you look in the Targum Yenison, the Aramaic Targum on the side here, the Targum Yenison says that Hashem told Yena, "Bisnabi Allah, I want you to prophesize for them." So the Targum Yenison takes the words of cry Allah and call to Ninveh, and he defines them in Aramaic as prophecy. So the Targum Yenison goes like the Gemara, obviously. Targum Yenison goes like the Gemara, and the Malbim has a pshat of his own. This brings us to the last phrase in the pasuk. Ki also ra'asam lefanai, the evil has arisen in front of me. On this, the Malbim again goes to Shitasai, Kelso Asalafanai, means that their evil ways are coming in front of me, I want you to give them Musa. So it's a continuation. Ukra Ela, call out, Yena, call out to Ninveh and reason with them, rebuke them. Why do I want you to rebuke them? So the continuation is, Kelso Asalafanai is doing bad things. So ki means because. Since you're doing bad things, I want you to rebuke them.
Who says this?
This is the Malbim. It's just like the Malbim. It's consistent. I want you to rebuke them because they're doing bad things. So that one thing is a reason for the other. The word ki means therefore, because. The Barbanel argues on the Malbim. And the Barbanel says the words call out to Ninveh. Hashem intended Yaina to tell them it's doomsday. Doomsday. Ukroi Allah means doomsday. Not Musa. He's supposed to tell Ninveh that it's too late. Ninveh, you're finished. You're going to die. No Musa. Nothing's going to help. It's too late. Ukroi Allah means it's over. And why did Hashem tell him to tell them this message? Because the evil came in front of me, and the evil is so much that they don't have a chance anymore. So according to the Malbim, the evil came in front of me, means we got to stop the evil, so give them Musa. And according to the Barbanel, it means their evil is too much for me to handle, and they have to be destroyed. I have one more thing, which maybe we could save for tomorrow, for Sunday. Okay. This died. Did it come out?